July 14th. As we look into the Old Testament today and read it, we'll be narrating from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, beginning at verse 37, and going through chapter 18, verse 17. Special times of praise and celebration are good to have, but you cannot live on these experiences. A satisfying walk with the Lord depends on daily worship of the Lord. That's why David assigned Asaph and the Levites their work in the ministry of worship, as every day's work required. Sacrifice and praise were parts of their daily service, as they should be in your life and mine. The main thing is to focus on the Lord, and David did just that in the special psalm he wrote. The Lord is named 14 times, as David reminds the people of God's works, God's words, and God's wonder. His glory, greatness, and goodness is also mentioned. Well, the excitement of the day would disappear, but the inspired songs of praise would remain for all generations to use in worshiping God. But after you have worshiped, remember to witness to the lost and to do your part in getting the gospel out to the nations of the world. Archbishop William Temple pointed out the essential nature of worship. He said, "For to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God." And as we move into chapter 17, we'll see that Nathan was a little too quick to encourage David in the noble enterprise of building a house for the Lord. How did Nathan know that was God's will for David? But the prophet's ear was ever open to God's voice, and he received from God the words that he delivered to David the next day. Well, 10 times in this chapter, David is called servant. The servant does not command the master. The master commands the servant. And what a wonderful master the Lord is. Whether we look at the past, where he says to David, "I took you, I have been with you," or the future, God says, "I will," 10 times. Well, we'll see the grace and goodness of the Lord. How David was humbled by the goodness of God. You know, it's one thing to know God's promises and quite something else to claim them by faith, my friend. Like a little child, David went in and sat before the Lord. He thanked God for the mercies he had promised, and then he said, "Lord, do it." Faith turns God's promises into reality. But before praying, take time to praise him. And now let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. July 14th, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 37, through chapter 18, verse 17. David arranged for Asaph and his fellow Levites to minister regularly before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, doing whatever needed to be done each day. This group included Obed-Edom, son of Jeduthun, Hosa, and 68 other Levites as gatekeepers. Meanwhile, David stationed Zadok the priest and his fellow priests at the tabernacle of the Lord on the hill of Gibeon, where they continued to minister before the Lord. They sacrificed the regular burnt offerings to the Lord each morning and evening on the altar set aside for that purpose, obeying everything written in the law of the Lord, which he had given to Israel. David also appointed Heman, Jeduthun, and the others chosen by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. They used their trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments to accompany the songs of praise to God. And the sons of Jeduthun were appointed as gatekeepers. Then all the people returned to their homes, and David returned home to bless his family. Now when David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in this beautiful cedar palace, but the Ark of the Lord's Covenant is out in a tent." Nathan replied, "Go ahead with what you have in mind, for God is with you." But that same night, God said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a temple to live in. I have never lived in a temple. From the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until now, my home has always been a tent, moving from one place to another. and I never once complained to Israel's leaders, the shepherds of my people. I have never asked them, 'Why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar temple?' Now go and say to my servant David, 'This is what the Lord Almighty says. I chose you to lead my people Israel when you were just a shepherd boy, tending your sheep out in the pasture. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies. Now I will make your name famous throughout the earth. And I have provided a permanent homeland for my people Israel, a secure place where they will never be disturbed. It will be their own land, where wicked nations won't oppress them as they did in the past, from the time I appointed judges to rule my people, and I will subdue all your enemies. And now I declare that the Lord will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die, I will raise up one of your sons, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will not take my unfailing love from him as I took it from Saul, who ruled before you. I will establish him over my dynasty and my kingdom for all time, and his throne will be secure forever.' So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed, 'Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? And now, O God, in addition to everything else, you speak of giving me a lasting dynasty. You speak as though I were someone very great, O Lord God. What more can I say about the way you have honored me? You know what I am really like. For my sake, O Lord, and according to your will, you have done all these great things and have made them known. O Lord, there is no one like you. There is no other God. We have never even heard of another God like you. What other nation on earth is like Israel? What other nation, O God, have you redeemed from slavery to be your own people? You made a great name for yourself when you rescued your people from Egypt. You performed awesome miracles and drove out the nations that stood in their way. You chose Israel to be your people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, O Lord, do as you have promised concerning me and my family. May it be a promise that will last forever. And may your name be established and honored forever, so that all the world will say, "The Lord Almighty is God over Israel." And may the dynasty of your servant David be established in your presence. O my God, I have been bold enough to pray this prayer because you have revealed that you will build a house for me, an eternal dynasty. For you are God, O Lord, and you have promised these good things to me, your servant. And now it has pleased you to bless me and my family, so that our dynasty will continue forever before you. For when you grant a blessing, O Lord, it is an eternal blessing." After this, David subdued and humbled the Philistines by conquering Gath and its surrounding towns. David also conquered the land of Moab, and the Moabites became David's subjects and brought him tribute money. Then David destroyed the forces of King Hadadezer of Zobah as far as Hamath. When Hadadezer marched out to strengthen his control along the Euphrates River, David captured 1,000 chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Then he crippled all but 100 of the chariot horses. When Arameans from Damascus arrived to help Hadadezer, David killed 22,000 of them. Then he placed several army garrisons in Damascus, the Aramean capital, and the Arameans became David's subjects and brought him tribute money. So the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David brought the gold shields of Hadadezer's officers to Jerusalem, along with a large amount of bronze from Hadadezer's cities of Teba and Kun. Later, Solomon melted the bronze and used it for the temple. He molded it into the bronze sea, the pillars, and the various bronze utensils used at the temple. When King Toai of Hamath heard that David had destroyed the army of King Hadadezer of Zobah, he sent his son Joram to congratulate David on his success. Hadadezer and Toai had long been enemies, and there had been many wars between them. Joram presented David with many gifts of gold, silver, and bronze. King David dedicated all these gifts to the Lord, along with the silver and gold he had taken from the other nations he had subdued, Edom, Moab, Ammon, Philistia, and Amalek. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, destroyed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He placed army garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became David's subjects. This was another example of how the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. David reigned over all Israel and was fair to everyone. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was commander of the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the royal historian. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were the priests. Seraiah was the court secretary. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was captain of the king's bodyguard. David's sons served as the king's chief assistants. July 14th. And now, as we turn our attention to the New Testament, we'll be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins have already been judged on the cross. But are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ where your works will be judged? Ask yourself some questions. Do I judge myself or others? How easy it is to cover up my own failures by criticizing others. Am I grateful for God's goodness? It's not the badness of man, but the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. Do I take God's many blessings for granted? Is my faith proved by works? Paul was not teaching salvation by works, but works that prove salvation. Big difference. Do I obey God's truth and persist in holy living? Do I have a hard heart? Or a tender heart? One more. Am I hiding behind religion? You know, the Jews boasted of their law, but it could not save them. External rituals do not guarantee internal changes, do they? God searches the heart. I wonder what he sees in my heart. How rarely we weigh our neighbor in the same balance in which we weigh ourselves. And now let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. July 14th, Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. You may be saying, what terrible people you've been talking about. But you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself, for you do these very same things. And we know that God, in his justice, will punish anyone who does such things. Do you think that God will judge and condemn others for doing them and not judge you when you do them too? Don't you realize how kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Or don't you care? Can't you see how kind he has been in giving you time to turn from your sin? But no, you won't listen. So you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself because of your stubbornness in refusing to turn from your sin. For there is going to come a day of judgment when God, the just judge of all the world, will judge all people according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who persist in doing what is good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and practice evil deeds. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on sinning, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. God will punish the Gentiles when they sin, even though they never had God's written law, and he will punish the Jews when they sin, for they do have the law. For it is not merely knowing the law that brings God's approval. Those who obey the law will be declared right in God's sight, even when Gentiles, who do not have God's written law, instinctively follow what the law says. They show that in their hearts they know right from wrong, they demonstrate that God's law is written within them, for their own consciences either accuse them or tell them they are doing what is right. The day will surely come when God, by Jesus Christ, will judge everyone's secret life. This is my message. If you are a Jew, you are relying on God's law for your special relationship with Him. You boast that all is well between yourself and God. Yes, you know what He wants. You know right from wrong because you have been taught His law. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a beacon light for people who are lost in darkness without God. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God, for you are certain that in God's law you have complete knowledge and truth. Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it is wrong to commit adultery, but do you do it? You condemn idolatry, but do you steal from pagan temples? You are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scriptures say, "The world blasphemes the name of God because of you." Today we're reading in Psalm chapter 10, and we have some questions here. First of all, does God hide? Why do the wicked prosper, it asks? That's a perennial question that God's people ask, as they consider the suffering of the godly and the security of the ungodly. They feel that God has forgotten and forsaken His own people. He is hiding. Next question, does God hear? Well, note the repetition of, "He has said in His heart." God hears what the ungodly say and does not approve of their pride and rebellion. The ungodly announces, "I shall not be moved. God does not see what I do. Even if He does, He will never judge me." Boy, what incredible arrogance, huh? And the final question is, does God help? Well, of course He does. He sees the trouble of His people, feels their grief, and helps them in the right way at the right time. After all, the Lord is King. It may look as though the ungodly are winning the day, but I guarantee you the Lord will triumph in the end. Psalm 10, verses 16 through 18. The Lord is King forever and ever. Let those who worship other gods be swept from the land. Lord, You know the hopes of the helpless. Surely You will listen to their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed, so people can no longer terrify them. Proverbs 19, verses 8 and 9. To acquire wisdom is to love oneself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. A false witness will not go unpunished, and a liar will be destroyed.